I invite you to hear these words from Scripture this morning. First, from the Old Testament, from the book of Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And then these words from the New Testament, from 1 Peter. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day, beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? It is a beautiful day. Doesn't matter what it's like outside, can be a beautiful day inside.
Today we're continuing in our series entitled Won't You Be My Neighbor, as we use Fred Rogers and his neighborhood as the backdrop to better understanding what it means to be hospitable, especially as Jesus and what it says in the scriptures is what it means to be a neighbor, to be hospitable, to love others as we love ourselves. And so Mr. Rogers is helping us do that. Now, if you're not familiar with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, it was a television program for children that aired on PBS from 1968 until 2001. And you can go on YouTube these days and you can find old episodes of the Neighborhood there. But and then also more recently, there was a movie starring Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And it's not a documentary, but it is based on a true story. And it gives you a great insight into the person of Fred Rogers. So I encourage you to see that as well. But for 31 years, for over 890 episodes, Mr. Rogers invited you into his neighborhood. It was a neighborhood that everyone was welcome, where everyone is appreciated, where everyone mattered, everyone was valued, especially children. Oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful neighborhood. At Fred Rogers' memorial service, he passed away in 2003. At one of his memorial services, one was held at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, in which he earned his seminary degree, because if you recall, I mentioned last week, he was also an ordained Presbyterian pastor. But this is what the former school president said about Fred Rogers. He said, Fred Rogers was a pioneer in the theology of hospitality. It wasn't a put-on for TV. Fred Rogers welcomed you, made you feel valued, extended hospitality wherever he was, which is true. In some of my research, I read that people who interviewed him, when they sat down to interview Fred Rogers, many times it wasn't long before you were answering Fred's questions rather than the other way around. And that was because he took such an interest into each and every person. And you see that especially in the Tom Hanks movie. And yet, being hospitable is not an easy thing to do. Because, you know, it demands something from us, right? It demands us maybe to open up our home, to open up our lives, demands our time, right? And it's why I love that the scriptures deal with this really honestly. I mean, what did Peter say? Well, at first he says this. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Because he knows it's not easy. So, you know, it's not about being part of a community that is perfect. Because if you haven't noticed, we are not perfect, are we? And our communities are not perfect. Our churches are not perfect. Our church is not perfect. No church is perfect. If you ever find one, don't join it, because then you'll ruin it. Okay, so it's not about whether we're perfect or not. It's really what Peter's reminding us is whether or not we love. Same thing Jesus said, right? Because love is the thing that covers our brokenness, it covers our sin, and it also gives us the capacity to be a neighbor, to be hospitable. And so Peter goes on and he says, so offer hospitality to one another. Now the Greek word used here is this word philoxenia. Philoxenia, I believe that's closer now. But it's a combination of two words. Philios means the act of a friend, of being a friend, showing affection for an individual object. And xenos, which is Greek for foreigner, stranger, or guest. So philoxenia is literally to make a stranger a friend. To make a stranger a friend. And so Peter says, offer hospitality, make a stranger a friend. But then he adds two words to it, without grumbling. Okay, so why does Peter add two words to his encouragement? Because he knows that being hospitable, being a neighbor, loving others, is not an easy thing to do. You know, it's more than simply Googling Martha Stewart and then you're good to go, okay? So Peter says, recognizing this, says, hey, but let's do it without grumbling. Okay? Offer hospitality without grumbling. And he says that because the tendency was back then, just as it is today, and that is to grumble. I mean, we do, don't we? I mean, at least I do. I mean, it's inconvenient, it's expensive, it's invasive, it takes time. You know, we're already busy, and then to take time to be a neighbor, to offer hospitality, you know, that just takes more time. It's inconvenient, all right? Because, you know, if you're having people over to your home, guess what? There are other people in your home. That is inconvenient. And then, and on top of that, it wears you out, because if you're having people over to your home, you got to clean your home before they come, don't they? Don't you? You know, that's, at least I do. That's what many ask me to help do. And so a lot of times before we have folks over who are staying or for me, whatever it might be, I'm already worn out from cleaning up the house before we got folks there. And so Peter's words are not only to the first century Christians, they are words that speak to us today, or at least they still speak to me, because I have a tendency to grumble, right? You know, I grumble. It takes time. It's invasive. It can be expensive. Again, if you're having folks over to your home, or if you're taking someone out to eat, it costs money to do that. Mindy, let me tell you, Mindy is a great host. I mean, she does a wonderful job. And so if we're having people over for a meal, she'll make sure there's plenty of food, plenty of beverages, plenty of appetizers, plenty of dessert. And so when I get to look at the grocery bill for all that, it's always twice as what it usually is. You know, it's expensive. And so again, I can grumble. I can tell nobody wants to come over to my house now, because you know how much grumbling I have a tendency to do. But no, that's not true. We'd love to have you. All right? But again, Peter's words, they cut to the heart, don't they? But he's calling us to be hospitable and to do so without grumbling. So how do we do that? What does it look like to be a neighbor? Well, it starts where we started last week in this series. To love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? That was the young lawyer's answer to Jesus. It was the correct answer too, right? He's quoting Leviticus 19, right? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Right? But if you go to Leviticus, where that passage is in Leviticus 19, you'll find this passage that precedes it that we heard a moment ago. When you reap the harvest of your land, because most people were farmers back then, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, who's the neighbor? It is the stranger, it is the foreigner. Person in need, whoever, anyone, everyone is your neighbor. Right, so how do you love your neighbor? Well, in one way, as we find here in Leviticus, is you leave the edges of your field. Okay? When you harvest, you resist the urge to pick up, go back and to pick up all the little pieces of grain or grapes or whatever it might be that have fallen to the ground. You leave them. Why? So, again, because you're being a good neighbor. So that you can love your neighbor. All right? Your neighbor who's a foreigner, who's poor, who's a friend, who's hungry. All right? You leave the edges. Because here's what the author of Leviticus knows, that it's impossible or almost impossible to love your neighbor if you don't have any margin in your life. It's impossible to love your neighbor if you don't have any margin in your life. If you don't have any margins around your proverbial field, you know, of your life, okay? All right, you can't be a neighbor. You got to be intentional, all right? Margin is the thing that creates capacity for hospitality, all right? Capacity to love. The margins do that, all right? Something that Mr. Rogers, he understood really well. In preparation, I read the book, I mentioned it last week, A Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers by Amy Hollingsworth. And there are... In it, she notes how Fred Rogers knew how hurried children were in all areas of their lives. And so that's why he often emphasized slowing the pace. He talked slow, did he not? He did everything at a slow pace. In his neighborhood, on TV, in life. Okay? If you ever noticed at the very beginning of the introduction to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? The intro there and the opening sequence, there is a stoplight. Have you ever noticed it? Well, if you have missed it, take a look. Stoplight. It was blinking what color? Yellow, right? That was intentional. It was not by accident. Hollingsworth writes, it was no accident that each episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood opens with a shot of a traffic light flashing in yellow caution mode. That message is the essence of every episode. It's time to slow down. It was a natural reflection of who Fred Rogers was. Fred said, for me, being quiet, being slow, is simply being myself. That is my gift. See, I think Fred Rogers, he understood the author of Leviticus, that it's impossible to love your neighbor if you don't have any margin in your life. And that happens by being intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. See, our default is to fill up the pages of our lives all the way to the very, very edge, right? In seminary, many times we had to write what were called reflection papers. It was a paper on a reading assignment. Okay, we'd have to read whatever, and then we'd have to write a reflection paper. The criteria was, though, your reflection paper could only be one page in length. And it could only be on the front page, okay? Not front or back, just the front. All right, so that meant we might have to read 100 pages of some book, some chapter, and write a one-page reflection paper. Now, the purpose of it was to get us preachers to get to the point and to be concise, which is difficult for us to do, right? And so many times, what that meant was you could only get somewhere between 800 to 1,000 words on a sheet of paper. But a lot of times you had to do it well, or because we all wanted that A or only wanted that good grade, felt like we needed more than just one page. And yet we could only submit one page. So what would you do? Well, here's what I would do. You'd manipulate the margins. I'd make them smaller and smaller and smaller until I got them all my words on that page. Right? And so sometimes we turn in our reflection paper and there would be words almost all the way to the edge. Got to the point where that one professor said, all right, for every reflection paper here on out, it has to have a 3/4 inch margin. Okay, because we were pushing it all the way to the edge. See, we need margins not only on our papers, but also in our lives. Leviticus reminds us that the best part of our lives happens in the margins. The most impact we have many times happens in the margins. The most joy that we experience many times happens in the margins of our lives. The moments when we go, oh man, that was so good to be alive, many times that happens in the margins of our lives. If you don't have any, you'll miss that. If you don't choose to create margins, you won't have any. Someone said, if you don't design your life, someone will design it for you. They'll tell you what to do all the way up to the edges of your life. And some of us know what I'm talking about because we're at our limit or we're past our limit. Our page looks like, our lives look like a page with words all the way up to the edge. And yet again, without the margins, we can't be a neighbor. It's impossible to love your neighbor if you don't have any margin in your life. I mean, some of the most productive people in the world are not the busiest people. They're just the most intentional. See, we are not slaves to our calendar, okay? We are called to be stewards of our time. Right? All of us have the same amount of time. Many of us fill a lot of that time up with work or with hobbies or whatever. And so we are with kids, family, and they're not all bad things. We just have to be intentional in creating some margins so that we might also be a neighbor, offer hospitality to those around us. I love what John Ortberg said. He said the most serious sign of hurry sickness is a diminished capacity to love. Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time, and that's the one thing hurried people don't have. Now again, Fred Rogers, he lived this out. He illustrated this in his own life. I mean, Fred's days, I mean, they were full, okay? But he was also intentional. He built into his schedule margins. He was unhurried. I read that he had a rigid, in some ways, a very rigid daily routine. That is, he would wake up at 5:30 a.m. every morning. He would spend an hour in prayer, in reflection, in Bible reading. And then he would go to the athletic club and he would swim. And then he would go to the studio where he would record Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And then a new routine would begin. And that included an afternoon nap. I love it. All right? And then he'd have dinner with his family. And then he would be in bed. He made it a point to be in bed every night by 9:30 p.m. I mean, even his diet was disciplined. He ate no meat. He drank no alcohol. And yet, Fred Rogers had this incredible capacity to love. I read also that he responded to every letter that a child wrote him. I mean, think about this. He took the time to respond to every letter that a child wrote him. He had this great capacity to love, and I believe he had the great capacity to love was because he was intentional. He was intentional in creating margins in his life. So the question we have to wrestle with is, do we live at a pace that allows us to be a neighbor? That has margins in our lives that allows us to do that, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to offer hospitality to the stranger, to the person in need, whomever it might be. I had a colleague of mine share this story. He was on a mission trip in Africa. And every evening, the men there in the village would gather around a fire and have tea. And so in the middle of them would be a fire, and on the fire would be a tea kettle there to boil the tea. And he said, I was sitting there and I was watching this fire and this tea kettle, and it was taking forever. And so I said to my African friend, hey, you know, if you put some oxygen on that flame, it will get hotter and that tea will boil quicker. My colleague said, that his African friend looked at him and said this, it's not about the tea. It's about the time spent together. And then he said, you Americans, you have watches. But we Africans, we have time. So I'm wondering if we'd have more tea if we put down our phones. I wonder if we'd have more time if we had fewer things to distract ourselves with. I mean, what if we were intentional in creating that margin? Because here's what I think might happen if we did. We might start to see the people that are around us more. Or more often. Last week, I went out and got some lunch one day. And I went to one of the places that I normally go to, that being Bojangles. And I go to Bojangles because nobody in my family likes to go to Bojangles. So if I'm going to go to Bojangles, I have to do it when I go to lunch on my own. Any case, so I go to Bojangles and I order my usual, which is a leg and thigh, two-piece dinner with one fixing. Okay, a leg and a thigh with fries. And you get a biscuit and a drink, and I'm good. And so I make my order, go get it. I go and I sit down. And as I normally do, I sit down and I take my phone out and I begin to read news stories from the day, you know, all that good uplifting kind of stuff. And so I'm sitting there and I'm eating and I'm reading my stories. And I noticed, sort of out of the corner of my eye, an older gentleman sitting in the corner of the restaurant all by himself. And he gets up and he has his tray and he has his trash and he goes to the trash can and he puts it in the trash and then he stops and he begins just to look out the window. And so I'm sort of watching him because I wonder what he's looking at. And as I'm kind of watching him and looking at what he's looking for, whatever he's looking at, he turns and looks at me and our eyes meet. And so I didn't want to be rude, and so I just kind of smiled and said, "Hey." Well, that "hey" led to the next 30 minutes of simply conversation. Him telling me about Indian Trail and telling me about barbers that he had gone to. We were talking about cars and what cars were good ones and what engines were good, all kinds of things. For the next 30 minutes, he talked. And I did too as well. And finally, he went on his way. I went on my way. And as I was getting back into my car, though, I thought to myself, you know what? That's been the highlight of my day so far. And just taking time out and chatting with a stranger. Sometimes the most important thing you do isn't on your calendar. It may not be on your cell phone. The most important thing might simply be God inviting you to be present, inviting you into the margins of your life. And you see, the most important thing may be the thing that you haven't planned or that you did not set out to do. Peter said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. And so Peter, his encouragement to be hospitable doesn't mean we all need to become extroverts. I'm not going to be that, okay? When I hear, I'm probably like some of y'all, when you hear a sermon on hospitality, if you're an introvert, you think, oh gosh, my, what a nightmare. But that's not what Peter's calling us to do. He's just simply calling us to use whatever gifts we have to offer hospitality, to be that neighbor. And so for me, it's more like just a one-to-one conversation with somebody versus being in a big group or hosting a big group. Yeah, and so maybe, instead of eating lunch by yourself, you ask and you sit with someone who's also eating lunch by themselves. Or maybe, instead of finding a secluded corner of the waiting room, you sit a little bit closer to someone else so that you might have a conversation. You know, it's whatever gift that you have, right, that you use to offer hospitality, that you use to serve, to help those in need, whatever it might be. So again, this is something that Fred Rogers cultivated in his own life. He offered hospitality without grumbling, okay, I can tell you that, just as Peter encouraged, because it was simply who he was. And it's interesting, I read, for many years, Fred and his wife Joanne and their family, they would spend time during the summer in Nantucket. All right, he wasn't running with the rich and famous. A little house bought in the 60s. In the off corner of Nantucket, okay? So it wasn't like that. But they would go there for month or whatever in the summer. And he became a part of that community. And at the end of his stay every summer, he and his friend and colleague on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Chef Brockett, if you've ever seen it, they would host a Monday morning breakfast for their neighbors. So I got a picture of one there. But here was the caveat. He said, the exact time and date would not be announced until the absolute last minute. One of his neighbors said, you'd get a call from Fred on a Sunday night saying, hey, we're getting together tomorrow at 7. And the reason he did that is because that way nobody could say, I'm busy. I love it. Did you also notice in the picture the shoes that Fred Rogers was wearing? his trademark blue sneakers. See, they weren't just a prop on this television program. They were just, again, a part of who he was. Again, Peter writes, use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So we're just called to use the gifts that we have. But we have to be intentional in doing that. And we have to be intentional in creating the margin. And it's not to fill up our lives to the very edge. We're encouraged to have limits. All right? The call to hospitality is not to give until you die. The call of hospitality is just to say, God, you know, help me. Help me to create margins in my life so that I might use the gifts that you've given me, so that I might be a neighbor to others, so I might love others as I love myself, so I might offer hospitality. Because it's impossible to love your neighbor if you don't have any margins in your life. And who knows, the inconvenience, the interruptions, they might become divine appointments. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts that you've given to us, how you make all of us unique, and how we are valued and appreciated, and we matter to you, just as Fred Rogers illustrated in his life. And so, Lord, help us to create margins in our lives that might not be so busy, or not to push everything to the edge that we have no capacity to love, and thus no capacity to be a neighbor. And so, Lord, help us to be intentional. Help us to prioritize. Help us to truly offer hospitality to a neighbor. For who knows? They might become a divine appointment. For in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.